Hi, this is Georgie.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood!
And with that crack of the can, I believe we have a successful test of Dan's new microphone provided by our patrons and scarf buyers. Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night. It is 8 p.m. This is Radio St. Pete. We are the Unused Substitutes. That was Wolfface doing our theme song, a band that Dan likes better than Operation Ivy.
Definitely, yes, yes. Oh, God, I can hear myself in my headphones. This is a glorious day.
This is really the first time you've had a chance to test it since you got it last Friday, right?
Yeah, as you can tell, I just made it onto into the chat and up and running as the theme music was playing. So this is the first time it's been plugged in. But apparently my computer completely updated and I lost my background. I don't know.
Dope.
Anyway.
But at least the mic works.
Yes, 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 yes. And the other problem, the reason why I ran out is my new aux cord doesn't fit my headphones. So I had to get an old one out of my car, which I thought was broken, but it's working just fine temporarily right now. And I feel like I'm back to 100% and we're good.
How does it not fit your headphones?
It's too thick. That's what she said. So it doesn't get into like the groove, the hole, and I'm just going to stop while I'm ahead.
So it's a girthy aux cord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was also you also heard the voices of Rob Stone, last week's interview guest, and Georgie Ristoff. Hopefully, this week's one of many goal scorers. And this is coming to you on Radio St. Pete as part of the Beautiful Game Network. Find them online. On Twitter at the BGNFM or the World Wide Web, BGN.FM, for a collection of fine other podcasts who, for some reason, decided that we should be included as well, because they're obviously crazy. This is your weekly, usually hour-long-ish, green and gold gospel hour. And, we got last week's game to talk about. It feels like it's been like forever since we did a show because we did it a day early because the U.S. game was the next night, and actually they're playing tonight as well. And then we went to some of us went to Orlando. Like, I just got home. So we did that show last week. I left the next day to go to Tampa. You ended up making your way up there, too, which was nice. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Do you remember meeting that reporter?
Yeah.
Did you remember without the pictures?
Yeah. I mean, her question was one of the best things I've ever been asked in my life.
What did she ask you?
Or things you can say while watching soccer and having sex?
Oh, yeah. I remember. And your answer was?
What a great finish. That was a great first touch. I think that was it. And then you guys started singing, so I went with that.
We had a good time at the U.S. game. The U.S. eventually won 3-2 after a goalless first half. Sadly, none of the U.S. goals came in our end, but we had a good time anyway. And I'm just going to put this out there. I ended up spending the night in a room with Ryan Sudol, PA voice of the Rowdies, and I have not spoken to him since then.
Everything okay? You guys good?
Yeah, no. There's no and we ended up Stephen Connell, who is kind of the head of the Skyway Casuals, crashed in our room as well too. But he really crashed more at the facility next door, which was some kind of dollhouse or something.
Good on him.
Well, they were giving away free drinks apparently with your tickets, so he tried to get me and Sudol to go, but we're both terrible old men, and we're like, no, go away. So he went over there, and we just had a South Park marathon. But then got up the next day, went to Orlando, wandered around Orlando a little bit in the daytime. Full Rowdy's gear, and you know, we're not accosted one bit. Left some decorations around town. Went to the Orlando game, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. And then I was in town. My wife and family came, or wife and daughter came up that evening. And then I was in Orlando till we finally came back on Monday afternoon. But yeah, the game. Rowdy's won. Orlando City B won. A draw in the litter box. Good, bad, ugly.
Let's see. Martin Patterson is still good. Was it as the team's article pointed out? That's 2 goals in 2 games for him, and he's scary. And I believe Mike went further. If you don't follow him on Twitter. You should, but he pointed out also that it was like one with each foot on his first touch, and he's on fire, and we need to feed the Pado,
yeah,
and keep that going. Hopefully, because of the draw, we don't change crazy stuff up. I think the only thing that needs to change bad into transition into my bad is the fact that we played so conservative. We held back. I don't know why. I don't know if it was because it's on the road, but like when you're playing in front of like 1,000 people, just it's not even on the road, really. Right. We should have went for it. We looked so good in that 4-3-3 attacking at home. I don't know what, like why we bunkered down, especially when we had the lead like that. We scored early, what, in the 21st minute, and then just bunkered, and it was bad. Ugly, I know. I mean, again, bad was the game managing. I mean, we used all 3 subs, but most of that due to injuries. That's bad. Mm-hmm. But also bad is the game management there. I don't know why we bunkered after the goal and whatnot. And ugly is, I know some people, it's all it's completely subjective. As officiating is, but I'm going to say the ref had a mare of a game, and that some of those calls were mind-boggling, or lack of calls are mind-boggling. But that's for the first time, I think, all season, I'm going to say the refs were the ugly.
Okay. All right. That sounds fair. I will say my good, the size of the away crowd out there, bigger than I thought. We ended up meeting with probably 4 or 5 other people came over and met us at an undisclosed location in Orlando for a little pre-gaming before we headed over to the stadium. And then the size of the crowd there was, I mean, probably between 30 and 50 people, whether it was a mob, whether it was just people who were, you know, in town or came along as well. There was a good picture floating around out there of the crowd after the game. So that's my good. Stay with the same formation. Didn't make any changes as far as personnel or the shape. Bad. You nailed it right on the head. I mean, we went from a week where we had 13 shots and what, like 9 on target, something like that, to 4 shots, 1 on target. Orlando, for themselves, to give a little credit to our defense, Orlando had 1 shot on target all game out of 4 total. And that was the penalty kick. So defense did a pretty good job closing them down, keeping them from getting good looks at the goal. But at the end, yeah, the ugly, I'm going to get 2 things here. The ugly, I think the referee, I think the penalty call is a little suspect. I've seen, you know, some both ways. I will say for my part, I was in the press box with There was Rowdy's media there. Mike and Nico were in there. There were like neutral media. I was sitting next to Kardik for the whole game. We were chatting about just random stuff. And there was Orlando media there. And like consensus watching the replay on the penalty was that it was a bad call, at least for at that point in the game. And especially when a few minutes beforehand, an Orlando player could have easily been sent off for a tackle on a last man goal scoring opportunity. So it was inconsistent. I'm not going to blame the draw on the refereeing as much as four shots, or you know, we have four shots total, one on target. Like that to me is the boggling why we played like that. My other ugly thing I'm going to get to in a little bit, but it's something that sounds kind of like Pato. Who is going to be my pick for man of the match?
Yeah, I will definitely second that.
And that game, you know, I know it's against the B team and it's the reserves and whatever, but I think that one maybe meant a little bit more to him. His first appearance in the U.S. was he made an appearance for Orlando City against New York City FC. Had a short run there before leaving, going back over to England. And came back here. So I know he likes to, you know, he looks like he wants to shred something to pieces every time he scores, but I think he really, really wanted to that time. If he had scored in the second half right in front of that mob section, there could have been a mushroom cloud.
They would have been great. But alas, one more goal would have been nice. Now have to face first place Charleston at home here at Al Lang this weekend.
Yeah.
I expect a good crowd. I expect a good game. It'll be fun.
Do you have a stat of the match?
Yeah. Let me get back to it. We only crossed the ball five times, but that's not my stat. My stat is the fact that in the passing accuracy in our opponent's half was only 58%.
Right. Compared to 77% I feel like, overall. Like that's.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me because, like I said, I've been extremely busy the last few days. I wanted to research this, and maybe I'll do it more and tweet about it later. I feel like that might be one of our lowest numbers all season, if not the lowest. And on the same note, we crossed the ball five times with 40% crossing accuracy. Orlando City crossed the ball 18 times with 5.6 crossing accuracy. But my point is our passing sucked in the opponent's half, and that that partly contributes to a piss-poor performance.
My stat of the match is going to be the shots on target. One shot on target, a week removed from making this formation change that looked to lead to kind of an explosion in at least the creation of chances. Shots on target. We did stick more. I mean, four shots total. You can say 75% were inside the box. We're taking more, maybe higher percentage chances up close. But still, out of four shots, it's kind of a small sample size to go with. But the fact that we went from, you know, however many shots it was last week against Cincinnati, or 2 weeks ago, to one shot in Orlando. And yeah, you can't call this on the road. It's, you know, what, 70, 80 miles apart. There was next to nobody there. There was a smattering in the sideline stands. There were, you know, a smaller smattering behind the home goal. I mean, the home supporters, and then a smattering, a nice sized show on a weeknight for the away fan section. Like, it's, I don't know. The one thing, and I don't know how much this contributed to it. I don't even know what the actual number is. But I think Mike pointed out during the game, it's a very wide pitch. Like, it might be the widest you can be regulation size. I haven't seen the actual number on it, but I remember looking at it and thinking, man, that looks like a pretty big size pitch. And then he tweeted something out, so I knew it wasn't just me. I don't know if that affects the game planning. This is the first time we've played in that stadium. But surely they would have had this information in advance and you know, factored that into it. But it's weird how we went from the number of shots we had against Cincinnati to the number of shots we had against Orlando. And, you know, we went from playing a professional independent team to a team of reservists. You know, these aren't guys who are, you know, it wasn't like the first game of the season where they had a bunch of their fringe MLS players sent down to make the start. And, you know, the mentality is there about how you know, you want to win every game. Yeah. And then in a lot of people's heads, in any game against Orlando is a bigger event. I'm not so, you know, disturbed by not beating Orlando City B. 3 points would have been fantastic to get, especially a road 3 points. And then, like, the fact that it's a team wearing purple kind of is third on the list for me. But it really feels like an opportunity, a missed opportunity there.
Yeah, especially with the we put in a great performance against Cincinnati here at LA, and we didn't build upon it. We regressed back, like, we went back to conservative, kind of boring. I mean, the tactics were different, but it was so conservative that it didn't feel like us. It was just the opposite side of the coin from the Cincinnati game. Instead of when we were in a tailspin and trying to, or, you know, yeah, we were on a downward like trajectory, you could have used that to build. And Orlando City is a heated rival. It's not really on the road, like you said. And it's a missed opportunity for 3 points and growth. It's just weird. It's a missed opportunity to cement our place in the standings, maybe even move up, especially because Charleston lost, and then they're coming here. We missed a massive opportunity to gain points.
Yeah, Charlotte drew last night against Harrisburg City. Like, that was a good chance to make up some ground, and we blew it again.
Yeah, and that's my issue. I don't care who the opponent was. We're a better team here. And we're missing great opportunities to cement our standings and our spot in the standing and whatnot. And, you know, as much as I expected to be here today, giving Stu credit, a lot of blame falls on him and the coaching staff for the conservative play on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm going to throw one more thing in as ugly too. Since we were mentioning coaches, it reminded me. I got to go to the post game press conference. They have the full, like, you know, press room set up in the fancy litter box over there. And I came to realization the way you feel about Marcina, Anthony Pulis is now that guy for me.
Why?
Well, he gets out there and someone asked him about the amount of, I guess it started with the amount of stoppage time in the second half, like 7 minutes, which seems odd. I mean, there are no goals. You had, you know, six subs on each side, and Joe Cole, I know, was down for a little bit twice before coming off. And how that, you know, breaks up the flow. And according to Pulis, his team was an attacking juggernaut in the second half. Simply because they had possession, all credit to Stu Campbell, but he has a team full of crafty veteran players who know how to dive, flop, and waste time. Meanwhile, all three players that, you know, you would maybe accuse of this were subbed off for injury. So our guys are flopping so much and we're really playing along with this to the point we're going to sub off guys who could not be hurt at all because they were just flopping.
Yeah, I get that. It was kind of uncalled for, but, you know,
plus his tone, I mean, voice is just
we had him here on this show, you know,
whatever.
Screw that guy though.
I don't like him.
That's fine. Anything else?
I don't like him. I just want to reiterate that I don't like the guy, even if he's been on the show. I'm guessing we won't have him. Well, I don't know. We didn't talk to him then. That was Jake anyway. So
yeah,
he can be the buffer zone between us and our hot takes and and actual journalistic integrity.
We have journalistic integrity?
We have Jake.
Jake does.
We have Jake, yeah. All right. The other thing, and this is going to branch off. I alluded to this earlier with the ugly. I'm calling this the chant rant. And it's not surprising, I don't think, to anyone who was at the game. Like, it wasn't surprising to me. But I don't know, maybe about 100 supporters in the standing section behind the goal who were there made full, frequent, ample use of the P-word chant, as we'll say. At first, I thought they must have just been paying tribute to former player Martin Patterson, but just saying Pato wrong for some reason, but it was not. And it's just, I know there's a division in it, not necessarily a 50-50 division, but there's a division of opinion about whether the chant is actually offensive or not. Maybe you don't think it is. That's fine. That's your opinion. You can roll with it. And I'm not referring to you specifically, Dan, just the royal you out there. To me, it's an offensive thing. And having spent the day, so we got to Orlando. We went over to the Florida Mall and kind of wandered around for a little bit till we could check into the other hotel over there. Popped into the United World Soccer store where they're selling the scarves that AO Orlando came up with, which was it says Orlando United. All the profits from those are going to charities involving the incident at the Pulse nightclub. And it kind of pissed me off because you are in a city where the fans are, you know, they get this great, you know, amount of respect from kind of the mainstream soccer media about, they've got these rainbow colored seats in their stadium to represent each victim of the tragedy. You know, they actually have a women's section of their club called Pride, which, you know, not you can play it off as that's, you know, part of their lion theme, but there's obviously some subtle other implications there as well. But, you know, as the teams are coming out, as the entire second half when Pickens is in front of them, like, number one, primarily, mostly, it's offensive. Number two, it's stupid and unimaginative. Like, you're just trying, it's another attempt at trying to, you know, people kind of make fun of people who are, you know, Euro snobs and want to be going to be like the clubs and the supporters in England. It's just another attempt to be something else besides an American supporter kind of culture. And, you know, again, you can think it's not derogatory at all. If it's not, then why are you chanting it at the opposing fans and players? But whatever. But, you know, like the Atlanta United's first game, some of them were involved in the chant. And everyone came down on them online, in the media, and it was wiped out. And rightfully so, it should have been. But it seems like for some reason the Orlando fans get a pass. And I know, like, they're again going back to the people in the press box. Even the Orlando, like the team staff and press, were just kind of a little bit exasperated by it because it was loud and clear in there, even though we had no audio connection to the outside. We just had the video. It's just disgusting. Be better.
Yeah, it's absolutely crap. I mean, I don't know why we're still this discussion is still happening. Like, I don't know too many people that actually defend it, except for the terrible people.
Right.
I mean, and even and my biggest thing is, like you said, some people, there's a debate on whether it's offensive or not. But if there's a debate about it, the easiest thing is don't use it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, some people might find it offensive, so let's not use it. You're not edgy, you're not cool, you're not like badasses, you're just idiots. So just drop it.
That's my take. Uncreative idiots as well, too. All right, yeah, I mean, I know, remember, we heard it a couple times from some of the visiting fans during the Florida Cup games with the South American clubs. Like, cool, you want to pretend that's some cool part of your culture, whatever. You barely had anybody at the games. Don't talk to me about how great your culture is when you've got 20,000 empty seats in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to defend it in the way that, like, hey, you know, it's their B team. They have another, you know, MLS team to support. But at the same time, like, show up, support your kids, especially if this is a quote unquote, if this is your biggest rival.
Right. They did say the guys in the press box were saying that because they dropped some purple smoke before the game. That was the first time there had been smoke at a OCB home game all year. You know, we had some in Al Lang for the first game of the season. So yeah, I was actually kind of surprised. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be a sellout or anything like that, but I was really surprised by how few people there were there.
Yeah, I mean, as much as it was, they were trying to talk it up, it didn't reflect on people showing up into the stands at all.
And they announced an attendance of 1,504, which leads me to believe they're one of the teams that go with the tickets distributed, because if there were 1,000 people there, I'll be impressed.
Yeah, whatever. Screw it.
Yeah. One other note from the match, assistant coach Stuart Dobson was sent off, right around the time of the penalty call, and we'll miss this weekend's game and find an undisclosed amount. So, yeah, whatever. that kind of wraps it up for that. I'll tell you what, that's the first time I've been over to the stadium. It's nice inside. I mean, it's no different than really any other rectangularly shaped stadium. I mean, you know, looks nice.
Rainbow seats.
Couldn't even see those from where they were. I guess it must have been like directly under us in our section because we were over on the west sidelines where the press box stuff is. There's like one kind of newish looking bar next door to the stadium. And then there's a whole, I mean, the rest of it looks like, I don't know, a war zone in that neighborhood. So hopefully.
Hold on, let me. This might be a little offensive to some, but including us, not really. I got a DM that said, let's see, where is it? Yep, it's an S-hole. I saw probably about 20 prostitutes and double that, just weirdos wandering around in their pajamas. And wow, what a S-tip outside the ground. It's worse than Anfield.
Yeah, it was. Hopefully, having the stadium and the team there brings some renewal to the surrounding area because it was a little bit scary. So we were talking about last week how the rules for the away supporters were they had to park in this garage and they were going to be escorted over by I don't know, security or off duty police or something like that. So while we were sitting having our little pregame meal, Stephen Cundiff, president of Ralph's Mob, was with us, and he's like, I'm going to call real quick and check in and see, you know, what time are they going to, you know, escort people from the stadium. So he calls them, and they go, you know what, we really haven't sold any tickets for this game at all. We're not expecting any big drama or anything, so we're going to kind of do away with the security escort. and I was like, well, okay, it's, you know, that's the way it's going to be. The parking garage is at least a mile from the stadium.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's and it's like right on the eastern side of I-4. So they had to park in the garage and then walk under the I-4 overpass into the stadium, which is like getting worse by each step. I was a little worried afterward. And then so afterwards they held them and then made sure everyone left at the same time. Well, I was waiting for Ryan to come back and pick me up once I got out of the press box, and I had to go. You know, I went down to the conference and the press conference, and Stu was supposed to go first, but he was talking with the team, so they brought in Pulis. So I sat through that, and then they brought Stu in, and then they were going to do a couple of Orlando players. So I just skipped out after that because I didn't want to listen to them, and I wanted to get my ride. And I had to like kind of stand outside the stadium for about 15 minutes while they finished walking to the garage and then driving back to come get me. The kind of fun thing while I was there waiting is that, you know, there was this whole big controversy about how they were going to use eminent domain to take the land of this nearby church and tear it down and use that as part of the stadium. And then they ended up not doing that. The church is super close. I ended up standing right in front of it. I mean, it's within like a stone's throw. It's right there on the same block as the stadium, basically. And it also appears as if they've sold off a large chunk of their land to someone else because it was all fenced off and the land had been ripped up like it was going to be redeveloped into something else. So kudos to the church if you just held out and got more money from someone else to sell part of your land instead.
I mean, leave it to them to want to tear down a church for their offensiveness, but oh well. Let's move on. I hate talking about them.
I do too. All right, so current playoff standings. I think I'm going to do this from now on. I'm not going to go through all the other results, mostly because there's so many midweek and random week games. I'm just going to skip to the standings because that's what really matters in the end, the bottom line. Charleston still leads in the East, 35 points coming here this weekend. Charlotte with 32. Louisville with 29. Us with 28. If we had won that game, we'd be 1 point up on Louisville and within a stone's throw of Charlotte. Bethlehem Steel right behind us at 27. Cincinnati with 27. Rochester with 25. Harrisburg with 23. That got me into looking at some of the remaining games since we're down to the last half of the season now. So we've got 13 games left, kind of evenly divided. Seven games against teams that are currently in the top eight in the playoff position, 6 games against teams outside of it, 7 games at home, 6 on the road. Of the home games, 4 games are against teams in playoff position, 3 are teams that are out, and then on the road it's 3-3. So, you know, I don't really know necessarily 100% what all those numbers mean, but just looking at it on the face, I always talk about trying to win your home games and maybe scratch out a draw on the road. I don't think that's enough to stay in at least the top half of the playoff table where you get a home game. So they're going to have to steal some points on the road in some of these games too.
I mean, I'm looking. The table, the games played is finally starting to even out, it looks like. I mean, we're still... What's that?
I said starting to tighten up a little bit, but you know, there's not this big gap between some of the teams anymore.
Yeah, Louisville is 3 games behind us. But looking down, I mean, St. Louis is at 16 games played, which is 3 less than us, but they only have 19 points. Orlando City B is 1 game behind. Red Bulls are even with us. Pittsburgh's 1 game behind. Toronto C. So it's... We're at the point where I think we're almost guaranteed a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. But like you said, we need to get as many points as possible to ensure a home game. And now seeding matters. We don't want to be 7, 6, 7, 8 and have to travel to any of these cities where we, especially Louisville. I don't want to go to Louisville because that stadium sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care where else we go. I don't want to go to Louisville. Like, finish higher than them, please, because we that stadium that it should be. They should have to forfeit home playoff games just for having like just a terrible field. I don't care about anything else. I don't care if you put it in. You know, if you give the home game, I don't know if there's to Cincinnati or whoever's close to them. Just don't let them play in Louisville.
Yeah, that's definitely something we want to avoid going into the playoffs. And also, I don't want to have to go to a Canadian team. Ottawa's kind of hunting around the edge there, aren't they?
Or they're at 21 points with 17 games played. I mean, they're 2 points away from Harris City, or Harrisburg City.
Right.
Or Harrisburg City Islanders. Whatever the hell they are. But, I mean, but... Harrisburg City has two games. Well, Ottawa has 2 games in hand on them, so it's possible. But they'll be battling it out for the last spot, I would believe. Right. Rochester has a couple games in hand and is at 25 points, and Cincinnati. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. But we need to, like you said, we definitely need to pick up points and secure a top. I would like it. I expected a top 2 finish, but top 3 or 4 would be fantastic. Let's not be Arsenal and settle for the 4th spot, please.
Yeah. yeah, I'm still, you know, reasonably convinced that we're going to have a playoff spot, but yeah. Ideally, you would win the you know, first place in the conference going into the playoffs. If not, somewhere in those first couple positions. So you can get a, you know, at least 1 home playoff game, hopefully more if it worked out in your favor. And then kind of worst case scenario is just qualifying for the playoffs in general, and then total freaking disaster is not making the playoffs. Burn it all down. All right, we'll go back to...
Yeah. Where are we?
We're hopping around here on my show notes. Okay, I guess, yeah, we'll go. We don't have a whole lot to talk about today. We've got to kind of get that one.
No, we don't. No. I don't know too much other than what you have in the show notes on this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I basically just have the article up because I saw that come out. So some league news. The Las Vegas City Council voted and approved, I guess, a lease arrangement between a soon-to-be-announced club and a stadium in Vegas. So... and it looks like they're going to enter next year. The kind of connection to us, at least, because it wouldn't be a team that we would necessarily play home and away. You know, we may end up with a trip there. You know, like we have San Antonio this year, we may end up with a random trip to Vegas or something. The group heading up the group that's going to be awarded the team is headed up by one of the former Orlando execs who was working with the Rowdy's front office on the MLS to St. Pete bid. So I'm not sure, because they said they still haven't officially announced the club, and that probably won't come until mid-August. Please not Las Vegas City or Las Vegas United or some crap like that, or Las Vegas FC. Get something creative, please. But I don't know if he's still involved with the working on the bid process right now, if he's going to remain through the announcement, or if he's out right now and working full-time on this. I would assume he's out right now working full-time on this. We were talking about it earlier in the chat, and it was always going to be a kind of temporary arrangement with these guys consulting with the club, but are they still doing anything in that process or not? I don't know.
I have no idea, especially when it comes to the MLS to St. Pete. Everything is so quiet, and I hate it.
But congratulations to them. Our good friend Nervous Jared, formerly of the Bone, is out in.
I wouldn't say anything.
Well, but he's out in Vegas now. He's been kind of promoting the info about it. So excited.
I mean, honestly, when he said that they might be getting a team, that was the only thing I knew, because that it was happening. Like, I didn't know anything about USL to Vegas.
Think I had heard anything about it. And then I think it was it last Wednesday, or it was either Wednesday or Thursday. I think it was Wednesday when we were at the US game, like the USL dropped the, Vegas Council to vote on leasing agreement that could lead to USL club being awarded. Now they have. So that's cool. I'm kind of looking forward to it. So what that got me thinking, I was looking at today, because they've said there's other groups. They've already confirmed some other groups. Fresno. And did you know that Birmingham was confirmed?
Really? Yeah. I am so out of the loop of all this.
Because it's what it says here in the press release that let me bring it up here. But Fresno, Birmingham, and now Vegas have been confirmed for expansion. It sounds like those are all for next year. All right, here we go. The USL has revealed plans to expand to multiple markets this year, including Fresno, California, Birmingham, Alabama, and Las Vegas. Edwards, USL President Jake Edwards, has also stated the league is currently in discussion with 8 additional groups for the 2019-2020 campaign. So looking at these 4, I mean, there's these 3 groups, and I think these will probably be these are the only other 3 coming in next year. And then also you've got Nashville coming in, so now you're adding 2 more Western, 2 more Eastern. They've talked about going to like a 3 conference thing with a Central conference. You're going to be at 34 teams, so this bugs my OCD because you can't split 34 evenly 3 times. And then trying to look and see which teams might make up that kind of central conference. It'd be interesting to see what they come up with, or if some other teams possibly come in as well. But cool. I think having a pro team out in Vegas is going to be a good thing.
I'd rather them have a USL or any kind of soccer team over a hockey team, but that's a different podcast.
A hockey team named after UCF's mascot?
everything needs to just, they need a rebrand now, and they haven't even played a game yet.
But cool, we'll keep along with that and have more info when it's out there. I don't have anything else. I really don't.
Since we got a little topic here, let's go do what I hate to do, Tampa Bay Rowdy's Reddit.
Oh, God. I will ask you an important, I realized we didn't do any food talk last week. We've kind of gotten away from that. And I know that there is a portion of people who need psychiatric help, but enjoy hearing that. I'm not going to bring up the thing you don't like. But good. I will ask, in honor of today being National Hot Dog Day, we have to settle this debate. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Okay, so there's no debate because I agree with you 100%. If it was, it would just be lumped in with National Sandwich Day. If you take a hot dog out of the bun, what do you have? You still have a hot dog. If you take ham out of a ham sandwich, you just have ham.
True. And it's, sandwich meat.
Exactly.
You don't call. And one of the few times I agreed with JP from Roger and JP was when he said part of what makes a sandwich is the fact that the bread it's two separate pieces of bread, okay, and the hot dog bun is a bun that is open, like that is attached.
Yeah, it's just a delivery system for the meat. It's not a sandwich. Okay. Well, so okay, much for taking up time with that.
I can't deal with Reddit. All I know is it concerns something here where it says, all I know is I'm scanning and I see it's telling Jews that we shouldn't be offended by the K word because it originally means circle, and never forget that the swastika was I don't know what's happening in Reddit. I'm done.
Is that Rowdy's Reddit?
That is the Rowdy. I mean, I'm not reading it, so it's probably not bad, but I don't know what is happening and I don't want to know. I am off that one. I think that it was trying to talk about the problems with the P word chant.
Oh my.
So let's, oy vey. Let's see where else. That's us. Nobody comments on our podcast anymore. You guys are jerks.
unless you buy scarves, then you're not a jerk.
Let's see. Attendance thread. That's fine. What is this? Rowdy's Cohen thrill. When was this article? Oh, cool. I don't know. It's Reddit is a cesspool.
it's how you go to Orlando without ever leaving your house.
Oh, look, here's the crazy excited. Las Vegas is definitely ready for this. Looks like there's a flare change in it. Well, is anyone building a supporters group yet? We're on it. Trust me. Need a name first. Doubt the neons will stick. The Sin City Committee. That's not like the itty bitty titty committee.
I know, right?
That's what I'm going to call them. If they go to the Sun City Committee, that is what they are. And like, I'm sure I'll get crap for being rude, but that's what that sounds like, and that is what you'll be called. I don't know. Reddit is boring and offensive, and I'm getting out of here.
All right, so random topic, because I was just thinking of something the other day, and it kind of relates to that. What's your favorite supporters group name?
Huh.
Doesn't matter what league, what level, whatever.
I like the Rogue Squadron. Isn't that what they are, the Rogue Squadron?
Yeah, over in Memphis.
Yeah, I like that.
That's going to be like in my top
Star
three.
Wars.
It's going to be in my top three.
I don't really know. I don't pay attention.
I just saw this pop. I follow, you know, one of those accounts. It's like, oh, here's pictures of away fans doing, you know, whatever on away trips. FC Buffalo, and I think they're NPSL, maybe PDL, one of those. Their supporters group is called the Situation Room.
I like it.
I dig that.
Yeah. I totally dig that. That is okay. I can see that.
That's pretty cool. I would put Rogue Squadron up there. Yeah. Trying to think. I have to look and see, but those are pretty good. No, you know what? There is a Vegas support. It's one of those like, hey, we're a supporters group. We just don't have a team yet. It was like Adam City Squadron or something like that.
No, that's bad. That's bad.
But at least there's one out there. Let me look and see if that's what it is. It's Adam City something, I think.
You know what's a terrible name?
Huh.
Ralph's Mop. No, I'm just kidding.
Adam City Army. That's I knew you were going to say that.
Kidding.
Adam City Army. We're a pro soccer supporters group working to show that Vegas can support an MLS, USL, or NASL team.
What is it?
Adam City Army. Let's see. They have
like,
not tweeted
the name
since,
or the molecule thing?
The name. I mean, the molecule thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes more sense. I was like, who's Adam since, and why does he own the city?
It's Adam West, of course. Rest in peace.
Okay, that's
They have not tweeted since December 16th of last year, so don't know how active they still are, but had a cool little logo and everything. And really, what's more important than having a fun name and a cool logo?
That's true. I mean, it's all fun and games.
It's all fun and games till someone invades your section and punches a teenager in the face.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Anything else?
I'm just looking up. Let's see, Minnesota, Chicago. Where is Chicago's? I'm just
section, really like section 8 or something like that.
Yeah, lame. Most of these, like,
they probably got more than one, though. I would think, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think they each have an official one, and then like 1,000 other branches. Because, like, yeah, they only have two listed for the. Oh, they have three: Crew Supporters Union, which is lame. Hudson Street Hooligans.
At least you can turn that into a pretty cool acronym. You can do the, you know, HSH. Sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I got the. I got a shirt from a couple years ago. You know what's bad while we're on this, and I don't mean this completely as a shot at Orlando, but anything with firm,
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stop.
Like,
just stop.
At least, like, the Ruckus is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give the Ruckus a great, that's a great supporters group name. Even if it, I don't want to give them credit for anything else.
I know there's, like, a chant with Ruckus in there. Like, I don't know, you know, maybe it seems too close to that, but in, just in general, like, that's a cool one.
Yeah.
Trying to think who else. Who else I like has a really good name.
Firms are just dumb. And yeah, like, ultras, get out of here. Just end it.
Unless you're being, like, ironic with it.
Yeah. Like, if you're a group of, like, soccer moms, you guys can be ultras.
Yeah. I'm good with
that. I think we should just find a way to do that. Like, a rowdy soccer moms, and we'll call them, you know, some kind of ultras. We should. I want to get that going.
Well, I always wanted to do, you know, because then there's the people who think that they belong in Green Street. I wanted to do, you know, with the old benches you used to have in St. Pete, the green bench hooligans, and have it be a bunch of old people.
Yeah. Or just a bunch of, like, old drunk dudes from Green Bench Brewing.
I know. Now that there's the brewing, you can't really do it as well. We did have you just got one comment, from Kevin, who we have met. Did you meet him on, at the US game?
If I did, I was really drunk.
I saw him for a few minutes because he came to get another scarf from us since he traded the first one away. Thank you, Kevin, for doing that.
I don't think I did, and that makes me sad because I want to meet him.
So I saw him there. Then I saw him in Orlando. He was like the first one in line to get into the stadium as I was walking around trying to find my way into the press entrance. But he'll be there Saturday at Al Lang, too, his first game at Al Lang. Says we're going to burn it down. Maybe after the season. Let's leave it for a little bit.
I will be there.
Still have a few games left. I know we're gonna have some. We need. I guess we should promote Saturday, because we kind of talked about it as a possibility, and then we threw some stuff out there on Twitter, and I think everything's come together. Like, have you talked to them at all?
Yeah, yeah. I told them same time, same place, same bat channel.
All right, and bring the same beers.
I didn't communicate anything about that, but if they're gonna bring whatever, I don't care.
You know what they're gonna do. Yeah. So what day is your actual birthday?
Monday the 24th.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's what you said. Okay, I remember you saying that. So we're going to celebrate your birthday on Saturday at the tailgate party, and we're going to record another pregame show with our good friends at Big Storm Brewing, and we'll actually record it this time. And then we got to figure out something to do with the recording.
Put it up on the internet.
Oh, there's an idea. We should do that all the time. Yeah, we'll figure something out. But you can come on by, hang out with us as we do the show, or listen to it later. We had a nice little crowd gather over last time. What time are we going to get started? Did we?
Four.
Four is what we did last time, and yeah, then we started. We started the show like what, 4:35, kind of.
Yeah.
Something like that, and then we'll finish up before we. Before we can go in, yeah. So we're gonna do a little celebration. So bring Dan some birthday presents. He likes beer.
Please, I like beer, and champagne, I like single of age women.
I know. I almost tagged you in Samantha's post on Facebook.
Which
the one where she said she was doing a story about single guys in their 30s in the Tampa Bay area, and I was like, oh, I know one.
Yeah, we can't use Stephen Cundiff anymore, so it's me.
Oh, I'll have to tell you a kind of story in a second when we're off air, because I can't tell this one on air.
I think one of my favorite Stephen Cundiff moments was during when Joe Cole got hurt. The camera panned over to Ralph's mob, and I've never seen Stephen Cundiff so aggressive and angry. And it was kind of amusing. He was like on the rail, like screaming, and I was like, everybody sees Stephen Cundiff as an angry, angry man.
You know, testosterone production is probably going to the overdrive form nowadays. all right, so we'll if we have more info to share about the birthday party, we'll put it out there before this weekend starts. But otherwise, just come over and hang out with us. If you ordered a scarf, I will have them with me to pick up. So, and there's also some of you are patrons of the show at the level that gets you a scarf. We'll have one for you too. We had one for our thousandth Twitter follower. We'll have that one out there too. So come on by, pick one up. We'll have some also to purchase as well. We don't have a ton left. It feels like we're selling these ones faster than we ever have.
They love us. They really love
Which
us.
Which is funny because I still have like, you know, 40 something in my house, but it's just a lot of them are pre-sold and haven't been picked up yet. And then, yeah, I think we'll have a good time. So one other question kind of tied to this weekend. So as of this point right now, we're still missing Damian Lowe and Charleston's missing Romario Williams, the leading scorer, who are both on Jamaica's Gold Cup squad. Jamaica plays Canada tomorrow night. Do you want Canada to win so that we get Damian Lowe back, or do you want Jamaica to win so that Charleston does not have Romario Williams?
Let's go Jamaica.
Jamaica to win?
Yeah.
I'll go with that too, because watching the defense on Thursday over in Orlando, like when you get to be a certain age, you can't keep up necessarily speed wise with some of the younger players as well. You've got to play a little bit smarter, especially on defense. But Tam was still outrunning some of their forwards and midfielders to get to the ball. So I'm okay with keeping Williams off the roster. Now again, it's a Thursday night game. Even if they lost and got released, to their teams, are they here in time or in any shape to play after having played an international game two nights before? I don't know, three nights before, whatever.
I think it depends on the minutes they get.
Right, Jake pointed out Williams isn't a usual starter for Jamaica, whereas Lowe kind of starts and usually ends up playing the full 90 minutes. So, but I'm comfortable with what we have right now. And if we could hurt them offensively, then yeah, I'll cheer for Jamaica. Sorry, Lee Godfrey.
Yeah, I feel bad, but blame Canada.
Yeah, that's what we usually do.
Just don't hurt him, Canada. Don't hurt Damien.
I think we've just jinxed it now.
Oh. I hope not.
All right, so even though we still have about like 8-7 minutes left, we'll wrap it up now. We love yous.
Oh, nobody, everybody, nobody in between. I don't know. The fans that traveled and all the fans that came out to the U.S., the Gold Cup game, Tampa Bay soccer fans, I love you.
Yeah, we did see a large amount of Rowdy's gear at Raymond James.
Yeah, I mean, I had my Rowdy's hat on, because I actually found my U.S. jersey, so I didn't have to go in Rowdy's gear.
Right. I spent the second half, part of halftime and a little bit of the second half, talking with the guys behind me, who are all South Americans, but were there cheering for the U.S. They were Colombians, and then just talking about the Rowdies, and they're like, oh, yeah, we get to a couple games here and there, and I was like, yeah, you need to come to some more. He's like, yeah, don't you guys have Joe Cole now? I'm like, yeah, it's been there for a little while. So
he just showed up last week.
Yeah, you know. Showed up on the score sheet with an assist. How about that assist too? Because he was kind of like, just he had gotten knocked down and hopped up just in time to give the assist to Patterson for the goal.
It was probably my favorite thing ever because he was like on the ground, like I'm dying, and then all of a sudden he's up and plays a perfect through ball.
Skills. All right, so my We Love You is going to be to the traveling fans. Yeah, everybody that I got to go like hang out with and watch soccer in some form, club and country with over 2 days last week. The guys who went to Orlando, the guys who hung out with us, pre-gaming in at Duffy's. The everybody, the people who have bought scarves and send us money every month on Patreon to provide that new mic, which has sounded very well. Sounds good to you?
Yeah, it's working flawlessly, and one of these days I'll get a real auxiliary cord that can fit, and everything will be A-okay. So hopefully this weekend I'll do that.
Nice. All right, so now I got to go through and look and see what stuff I need to pack up and bring for this weekend, so we can use. If you still want to get one of the scarves, haven't gotten one yet, go on our Facebook page, facebook.com/unusedsubspod. Click on the shop link, store link, whatever it's called. And you can get one, and we'll have it for you on Saturday at Stadium. If you'd like to support in other ways, there's the Patreon account, a monthly donation of whatever you like. There's different perks for different levels. But every single thing, every little bit, whatever, is appreciated. If you've ever thought about subscribing to Fubo, they're adding more like non-sports channels too. I got an email this week. There's some network called Fusion TV, which if I'm not mistaken, that's the one that owns like what was that blog that got in trouble for? Oh, Gawker. I think they own Gawker now, if I remember correctly, and they're owned by Univision. That's on like their premier like channels. I might need to just dump Frontier and just have Fubo instead. You can do that. We get a little kickback from that too. And if you're just totally broke and can't throw money at us, we understand. We're both perpetually broke too, because I chose to be a teacher, and Dan's stuck taking Dasha to restaurants all the time and taking pictures. If you could go on to podcastawards.com, sign up for a free registration, and then go select us in the sports category. You've got 12 more days left to do that. They pick the top 10 and move on to final voting then. And I'm sure we'll be saying it's an honor just to be nominated, because I don't know if we can put together enough of a Twitter army, online army, whatever, to win the thing. But it would be cool. Gets our name out there. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on wherever, and listen to us then, and give us some good reviews, put your name out there in front of people looking for this kind of material, and then hopefully they can get the help they so desperately need. Thank you again to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to The Shamrock, and to Big Storm. And that's it. We will close, as always, with the song that now shares a name with the beer we'll be drinking this weekend, most likely.
Yeah.
See you on Saturday for Throwback Night. It mentioned several former rowdies and wowdies in attendance, and also some limited time throwback merchandise. As I said on Twitter, the thing I would most like to see at Throwback Night is Perry Vanderbeck.
The thing I would like to see that I said on Twitter is to go back to when we didn't suck.
Goals.
Yeah.
Throw back to when we were scoring goals in every game. That's nice. All right, guys. We will be back next week, hopefully talking about a win finally over Charleston. Batter the battery or something. We'll come up with something. We'll see you guys Saturday at Al Lang. Thank you, as always, for listening. And we're out of here. See ya.
Deuces.
The radical here, the radical there, they kick them all around. The radical here, the radical there, they pull around, all around.